Gospel according to John, chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. For the last several weeks, we have been going through the I am sayings of Jesus Christ. We began with I am the bread. We moved from the bread to where Jesus then says that I am the light. We then moved from the I am the light to I am the door. And then last week, we spoke about him being I am the good shepherd. And today, we're going to talk about Jesus being I am the resurrection. Now, you had more than enough time to get there. If for whatever reason you don't have your Bible with you, or you don't have a way to read the scripture, our own sister Phyllis has been good and kind enough to put it up on the screen for you. And so I'll be reading again the Gospel according to John, chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. And it reads on this wise. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Verse 27. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege of being able to come into this gathering once again to hear your word, to listen to your word, to allow your word to find a lodging place in our heart. Our prayer is, Father God, that your word would not just find a lodging place, but then it would produce fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Certainly our prayer is that we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers as well. Our prayer is, Father God, that those who are already saved may be encouraged by the word, that they might be exhorted by the word, that they would have been made somewhat better by having heard the word. But our intense request is, Father God, that those who do not know you in the pardon of their sins, Lord, that they might hear the word and become convicted and say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, that is our prayer. My prayer, my personal prayer, Father God, is that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that you would think with my mind and speak with my mouth. That, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hide me behind the cross, Father God. Let the people not see me, but let them see you. And so after having seen you, Father God, let them realize that there is a heaven to gain, that there is a hell to shun. Now, these and all other things we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. We all do say, amen. Amen. So just for a few moments of the time that we have together, just want to talk to you from the thought, the idea, the theme that I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And again, that this is one of seven sayings that Jesus said in regards to his divinity. And what does that mean? And so, you know, some time ago, some years ago, and maybe even still today, I am put in remembrance of a commercial that I would watch. And the commercial was of a garage where cars were being worked on, and there would be a guy, and he would be the Meineke man. And the Meineke man would end the commercial saying this, that you'll either see me now or you'll see me later. And so in many ways, this is the situation that many of those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior kind of find themselves in. They find themselves in a situation where we know that the gospel goes forward. We know that it is preached on every Sunday. It may show up on certain people's TV channels. You may come across a Christian at your job, at your school, at your leisure. You'll come across a Christian who may very well tell you about Jesus Christ. And praise be unto God, that's what we do. We want others to know about the goodness of Jesus Christ. We want others to know about that he sits high, he looks low, that he has a heaven to welcome his children and his sheep into, and that there is a hell that was made not for necessarily you, but was made for a Satan and those demons that rebelled against him. But should you reject God and Jesus, the gift that he makes available, that fate that the devil has, it may be very well the same fate that you may face if you reject Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And so I am standing here today, once again, don't know how many times that you may have heard the gospel preached, but I can assure you that today you have another opportunity to hear how good and how gracious God is, that he is willing and he has sent his son, Jesus, to die upon the cross, not for anything that he had done, but for our sins, so that we might have relationship with God the Father. Some time ago, we covered we covered Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And in those three chapters, Peter talks about all the things that sin has done in our lives, that no one who lives on this earth is not going to be judged. We will all be judged. It's just a question of what you will be judged for. As a sinner, you will be judged for your sins. However, if you have believed in your heart, if you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the judgment that you shall receive won't be unto you being cast into hell and then into the lake of fire. But as a Christian, your judgment will be what you did in this body, the works that you pursued while you were saved. Your soul is saved. You will not go to hell if you believed in your heart, if you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is somewhat the situation that we find here today. Let me see if I can get you up to speed in regards to where we're taking our text from. And here, where we've taken our text from, Jesus has had received some information from Mary and Martha that their brother was sick, and his name was Lazarus. And so Jesus received this information, and he sat on this information for an additional 2 days before he decided that he would go to Bethany, where they were, to then meet the family. And so as he was biding his time there, his disciples then asked Jesus several questions. One was, well, are we going to really make our way back down to Judea? They just recently tried to stone you. Are you really going to try and make your way down there? And he says, I must do the works of him who sent me while there is yet day. And then Didymus, and look, a lot of people make have issues with Didymus. I don't, because Didymus says the things that are on his heart and actually in our head. And so Didymus says, well, then let us go so that we might die with him. And so Jesus tells them straight up that Lazarus is not sick, but Lazarus is dead. And that I'm glad that we didn't go before now so that you might believe. Now notice, he's telling the disciples that there was something more that they needed that they didn't understand. And Jesus delayed his coming to Bethany so that they might be witnesses to what it was that he was going to do with Lazarus and with Mary and with Martha. And so Jesus finally makes his way there. As he makes his way into Bethany, he is met by Martha. Martha confronts Jesus and says, you know, my brother would not have died if you had been here. Jesus says, do you believe that I am able to resurrect? And so she says, I know that you are the Christ, that you are able to resurrect. And so she runs off and gets her sister. And so at this point, Martha has now confronted Jesus. Jesus has now told her that what I am, the resurrection. And so before I run a little bit further on this, I just need to let you know that this is your take-home point. And if you take this home, you get all of the rest of the sermon. And the point is this, is that Jesus promises us a resurrected life. Jesus promises us a resurrected life. And so the question then becomes, how do I obtain this resurrected life? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here in all that Jesus has said in this 25th through the 27th verses, Jesus tells us, first of all, that he is the source of the resurrection. He tells us he is the source of the resurrection. I did not make this up. It's here in the text. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. First of all, Jesus is the source of the resurrection. Now, if you would, if I can put you in remembrance, in the Old Testament, or in Exodus, we find there's a fellow by the name of Moses. Moses finds himself on the back 40. He sees this burning bush. The bush is burning. It is not yet consumed. But yet Moses makes his way to this site. Once he makes his way to where the burning bush is, he hears the voice of God. And there he learns to hear the voice of God. And while there, God tells him what the mission is that he has for Moses. And so at the near the end of it, Moses asks the question, when they ask who sent me, what shall I tell them? God tells Moses, tell them, I am who I am. God tells Moses, I am who I am. And in other words, if there was, there are some other Hebrew scholars who say that the Hebrew can also be rendered in this way. I cause to be what comes into existence. I cause what comes to be into existence. I cause. In other words, the uncreated creator says that this is my name. I am. I am the creator of all things. There is nothing that is that I did not create. God tells Moses, I am who I am. I am the uncreated creator. And so we find that John makes the same argument in his gospel. We find that in the first chapter, Jesus is stated as saying that all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In other words, Jesus is the source of the resurrection. And it just makes sense because all things that were made, he was there when they were made. He had an active hand in the creation of all things. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are present at the creation of all things. So it just makes sense to me that if you created the thing, you can resurrect the thing. In other words, if you have all creative power, and now let me make this plain, we don't create anything unless it's mess. The fact of the matter is that God is the creator of all things. He has creation ability. What we do is we make stuff, which is different from creating. Creation means that you took ex nihilo, which means that there was nothing for you to work with. You made whatever it is that you needed to make from you. And we find that God creates whatever he has created through simply speaking it into being. Like I said, the only thing that we oftentimes create is a mess when we open our mouth. Oftentimes, we probably are better served when we keep our mouths shut. However, we simply make things. We take things that are already in existence and couple them with some other things, and then we've made something new. We're just simply engineers. We're not creators. We're just simply engineers. And so Jesus is not only the source of the resurrection, but then he's also the source of life. In the same passage, John goes on to say, in him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus, because of his very nature, has the ability not only to create life, but he also, therefore, death is not a hindrance to him. Death is not a hindrance to him because he is the source of all life. So if you cease to be, that's all right. Why? Because Jesus has the power to not only resurrect you because all life is in him. So you dying does not present a situation for him. He just merely resurrects you. Now, let me make this plain. Everybody will be resurrected. Big surprise, right? Everybody will be resurrected. However, not everybody's going to be resurrected unto life. Everybody will be resurrected. We know this because at the great white throne, Jesus is going to part the sheep from the goats. He's going to say, all the sheep to the right, all the goats to the left. When you come back with this resurrected body, there's one thing that we know for sure, that we're going to have the ability to express joy and, not so much express joy, but experience joy and experience pain. How do I know? This is how I know. In the revelation, those who have been separated off to be made goats will be cast again into hell and into the lake of fire. In this lake of fire, it is said that what? The worm dieth not. There is pain and there is suffering. There is no love. There is no hope. There is simply pain. Now, for one to feel pain, one has to have the ability to feel pain and to be hurt. And on the likewise, when we are judged, when we, meaning we who are Christians, will be judged, we will be judged on the things that we've done in this body. And some of the things that we have done in this body will cause us some pain, and we will cry tears. But the Bible says that he will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. We will have crowns, we will reign with him, and we will experience the joy that we have in him as we are all in heaven together. Yes, there will be a general resurrection, one unto eternal death and hell, and the other unto eternal life. The resurrection that Jesus speaks of here is the resurrection unto life, which is the promise of every believer. Every believer has the promise of eternal life. Not only is Jesus the source of the resurrection, but then he's also the agent of the resurrection. He's the agent of the resurrection. And how do we know this? It says here in the verse, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he follows this up with a question, and the question was actually posed to Martha, but he poses the question to us today. He poses us the question today, do you believe this? My sincere hope and prayer is that you believe in Jesus. And the reason why I ask that you believe in Jesus is because he is the agent of our resurrection. Not only is he the source of our resurrection, but he is the agent of our resurrection. Now, what is an agent? Well, I'm glad that you asked. The agent, or an agent, is someone who acts as a third party on the behalf of someone else. In other words, I could not do it. I don't have the ability to do it. I don't understand what it is what needs to be done. So what I will do is that I will engage someone to act as an agent for me. Let me see if I can make this clear. When people were traveling on flights and going places and having vacations, sometimes what they would do, if they were unaware or they thought that they could get a better deal, they went through an agent. And the travel agent would make flight plans for you. The travel agent would make hotel arrangements for you. They would even, if they were able, make it so that you would be able to enjoy the sights while you were there on vacation. They might very well set you up with a total package. It would be a package that would cost you less because you went through the agent than you would have had you gone and done it yourself. I've just come by to let you know that Jesus is our agent in regards to our salvation. Our salvation is we're only able to be saved through because of what Jesus has done for us. Because Jesus took upon himself our sins. Because Jesus died upon the cross at Calvary. Because Jesus died there on the cross, was placed in a borrowed tomb, because he then stays in that tomb 3 whole days so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He then rises up. He resurrects, he is resurrected himself, and now sits on the right hand of the Father. When we say that he is the firstborn of those who have been resurrected, that is what we are speaking of, is that same resurrection that he has yet to experience in this particular passage, he will go through, and he'll go through it not because he has done anything wrong, but because he loves us so much that he does not want us to go to hell, that he does not wish for us to be cast into the lake of fire, that he does not want us to experience eternal death, eternal separation from God the Father, because he does not want us to experience eternal hopelessness, because he does not want us to experience eternal pain. Jesus takes all the sins of all the people who have ever lived and who will ever live in this world upon himself. The wrath of God that was meant for me and for you, Jesus takes upon himself as he dies there upon the cross. And the relationship that God the Father has with God the Son has to be momentarily severed, because God cannot look upon sin, but all the sin of the world is placed upon God the Son. And so God the Father turns his back on God the Son, not because he is wrong or he's done anything wrong, but because God loves us so much, justice must be served. We can't just continue to live and walk and live and do the things that we do thinking that there is no cost. There was a cost. There is a cost. Jesus has paid it all. All to him I owe. Not only is Jesus the source of the resurrection, not only is he the agent of our resurrection, but then he tells us how to obtain that resurrected life. She says to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, you Son of God, who is yet to come into the world." So finally, the question is asked, how do you obtain this resurrected life? Jesus is the source of it. He says, "I am the resurrection." Your death will not prevent him from resurrecting you. The only question is, what will you be resurrected unto? Will you be resurrected and cast into hell and then into the lake of fire? Or will you be resurrected into eternal life? And so it would not be right for me to allow these two choices to be out there and then not tell you how to obtain the life. The one and wonderful thing about this verse is that Martha and Mary as well have their orthodoxy and their theology correct. They say in no uncertain terms, "Yes, Lord." The Bible says that we must what? Believe in our heart. We must confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall be saved. I know I've said this before, and I'll say it again, because you know the thing about Facebook is you might turn in for about maybe 10 minutes and then turn me off. But the fact of the matter is, I've got to let you know that there is a choice to be made. You can choose to be separated from God for all of eternity, but God has made a way through Jesus that you might have eternal life with him, that you may have that life and have that life more abundantly. She says and tells Jesus, "I believe that you are the Christ." And the Bible says that you must believe. If you want that and want to obtain that eternal life, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus has died upon the cross for your sins, and that because he has died on that cross for your sins, because he was taken off that cross and placed in a tomb for 3 whole days, because he then raises up out of that grave at the beginning of the 3rd day, you have a right to eternal life if you believe on the completed work that he has done at Calvary. She says, "I believe you are the Christ. And at the end of the day, all you must do is believe that Jesus is what? The Son of God. And not that he has come in, who is in the world today. He has come, he is come, he will come. And when he comes the second time, he is going to come and call all those who have believed in their heart, all those who have confessed with their mouth, all those who have said that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will come for all of his children. He will come for all of his sheep. He will come for all of those who have eaten of the bread of life. He will come for all of those who have walk through the door, who have access to the door, who have been into the pantry door, who have gone in through the door of security. He will come for those who walk in the light of the Lord. He will come for all those who believe that he is of the resurrected Christ. He will come back for all of us who have believed in our hearts, who have confessed with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ and have become saved. Now, for those of you who are not already saved, for those of you who do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, can I just do this with you just for one hot moment before you turn away, before you shut me off, before you confine me back to Facebook? Can I pray this prayer with you? And if you pray this prayer, I can assure you that if you've believed in your heart, you will have confessed with your mouth, and the Bible says you will be saved. Please, ma'am, please, sir, wherever you might be, whatever you are doing, say this prayer with me. Father God, I am a sinner, and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my life and make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. For this I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer with me today, you are saved and believed it in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus has come from God to take all of our sins upon himself. If you believe that he is in fact the Son of God, the Bible says that you are saved. You've asked God, there's nothing more that you must do. There's no penitence that you must do. The Bible says that if you've believed in your heart, you confess with your mouth, you are saved. The angels in heaven are rejoicing, and God has another child in this kingdom. But see, the thing is this. I don't know that you've done it. And my request and my plea to you is this, is that if you've done this today, please, ma'am, please, sir, be good and kind enough. Find me on Facebook if you can. If not on Facebook, then find me on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. You can bring up New Beginning Christian or nbcfc.org. It's right behind me. You can bring it up and just leave a message there for me, if you would. A way that I could get back to you. Please, ma'am, please, sir. We praise God for this opportunity and for this privilege. Before I sign off, let me pray for you once again. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for this privilege, this opportunity that we have to be able to go on Facebook and be able to go on YouTube, to be able to be seen again, Father God, on our webpage, Father God. We ask that you would touch hearts and touch minds. Those who needed to see this, Father God, that they would have seen it. And that after having seen this, Father God, that they would have been moved, Lord, to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. I thank you and I praise you, God, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy that you continue to show unto us, even through these last and evil days. Now, these and all other things, we do ask and do pray in Jesus' mighty name. And we all do say, amen.